Let's pray. Father, yes, yes. We want to invite you into our presence right now. It's you that is the subject of our adoration. It's you that we love. It's because of you that we're here right now. I thank you, Lord, for gathering this community this morning. And Father, I just ask that you will pour in your blessing. You'll add that extra dimension, that big plus that comes from you and can only come from you. So, Father, I pray you open our hearts, our minds to receive. When you speak, universes are created. When you speak, hearts are transformed. And the regards from poverty become regards of richness. And Father, we just ask that you will do your bidding today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, over the past few weeks, Carl has been talking about the hits from David. The great songs we have in the Old Testament, in the Psalter of David, and it's great. Carl and Janet, by the way, are visiting London for the first time in their lives, so a much-needed holiday, I believe. We also have Francois, and he's in Australia, and Cherry. Yeah, okay. Royce is in Singapore. And yet, look at all these wonderful faces, huh? Great. And we get to explore another Psalm of David today. You know, I love David. What an example of a guy that gives his all. And we see his heart all over the place in these scriptures. And we get to examine what really matters from the soul. You know, David's a guy that got challenged again and again, had to flee, had to fight, had to hold things together, and always came back to the center. And I think as we're going to take a look at this psalm today, we can ask, what really matters? What really matters? And we can line up our own souls and say, well, how are we doing, soul? How are we doing really inside? Where are we relative to our God? And I think it's important that we gather a sense of priority again, that we go back and say, yes, where are we leaning and what are we leaning upon? Is it our own strength? Why do we come here on Sunday morning? What are our souls burdened with? And this morning, I think this psalm is a psalm of dedication in the middle of trouble. Where David's saying, look, look, look where I am, Lord. He's going to speak directly to us about where his heart is. And I'm going to read this little by little, three verses, four verses at a time. So, and we'll go through it in that way. It's only 14 verses, so four times, okay. We have the first part up here. Great. It's a Psalm of David. And he starts out, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hopefully I have the same version. Okay. When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes. It is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. And we see David make some great, great declarations of faith. He's facing ferocious enemies. It's not that David did not fear, okay? We find out in other places in the Psalms that he was overcome at times. In Psalm 55, verses 4 and 5, he says, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling came upon me, and horrors overwhelm me." Okay? So, but he's making a clear declaration in this, at the beginning of this psalm. Okay? And I want it to be juxtaposed a little. I believe for us this morning, as we come to this psalm, this is a lot to do with fear. Okay, but I think it has a lot to do with any time maybe that we're in a emotional turmoil, if you would. This psalm has some ingredients to speak to us. So I don't know where your soul is this morning, okay, or where you have been with some past memories, maybe troubled times where you have been overwhelmed. But I think what David's doing here has some things to say to us. I remember as a kid, grade school, and we had a neighbor boy down the road. He was older than I was. I don't know what got into him, but all of a sudden, out of the blue, he decided, "I'm going to torment Scott." Okay, I was littler back then. But I remember, punch you and whatever, just whatever, to try and humiliate. And it was like every day I had to go to the bus stop to catch the bus to go to school, and this kid would, and my life began to turn around the fear of seeing that kid. Okay? I remember it became preoccupying for me. Eventually that the things passed, but I meant just the feeling of I started deviating my course. I remember later on, I was working as a chemist later on in my life in a hazardous waste treatment facility, and I had to deal with all these laboratory waste. And it was things like cyanides and so on. And I worked with guys that were very cavalier and didn't care. One was depressed. And I remember the dread that would come on me and the battle that was there day after day. And it started to have impact on me physically. I don't know what the situations, the battles that you face, but I think David starts out on the right track here. And he makes three declarations right off. He says, "Lord, you are my light, my salvation, and the stronghold of my life." That can mean the strength of my life, the defense of my life. You are these three things. And I see David, he's recentering himself. Where is the priority here? What is essential? And he's learned three lessons. God is light, his light. personal light. Now, I don't know where he learned this. I can imagine some things. He spent many nights in dark, dark caves. Okay? He spent nights shepherding sheep. He spent nights on the run, confronting all kinds of darkness. And this world is full of darkness. Pitch darkness. Have you ever been in a situation where it's pitch dark? You can't see this far in front of your face? And David knew. He writes elsewhere, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." He knew that God would give clarity and shine into those situations. He learned through some experiences. Maybe he had acquired through some of the scriptures that had preceded him. Creation. Light out of darkness. That's the way our God operates. Brings hope. Maybe with Moses in the presence of God. I don't know what, but he knew what he knew intimately. God is my light. If I'm going to see, and if I'm going to see myself through this, I come to you. This is his first declaration. God, you are that treasured exposure there that I can see by. You know, when the light comes in the morning, wow. Phew. Often the fears dissipate, don't they? Often. Sometimes not. You know, sometimes we have to get even more centered. He also calls God his salvation. I love it. I'm glad we sang about salvation this morning. And he knew intimately deliverance. That God had looked out for him. When it was impossible, God was doing so. How many of us were saved from a real bad life and have been repeatedly since? Okay. And David, he knew the stories of Joseph, how God miraculously worked, or Moses and the whole Exodus, Gideon and his little army against masses of the enemy. Because here, these are people he's confronting. He knows quite clearly they're going to devour his flesh. If God doesn't come through, it's beyond David. And I love the fact that the name of Jesus means God saves. God saves. This is what it's about. This, from whatever the circumstance, God intervenes. He is the Savior. We declare that when we have the baptisms and so on here. But here David is saying it personally. When all the chips are down, when there's great difficulty, he's taking the time apart and he's saying, God, my light, my salvation, and my strength. He's known God as his that little extra dose of energy that you need to overcome comes from him. When facing bears or lions or Goliaths or whatever enemies might be at hand, it comes from him. He is the defense. You know, the starting point is David knows his odds. He can't handle it himself. The odds are too great. He needs God desperately in the middle of all of this. What is it you say when you're confronting such situations? What is it you start out with? Because our tendency is everything to try and flee and run or fight or whatever in our own means. And David here is going before God. And he's saying, God, you exist. You exist. And this I've learned about you. And I am subordinate. I'm coming under that before you. You are the primary truth. No matter what the other circumstances, and I know I've seen it elsewhere in my life, the enemy has stumbled, and I am not going to let that be the determining thing in my life. Fear. I'm going to declare who you are in front of that, in face of that. You know, I've realized more and more. A month or so ago, I was back home. And all of a sudden, I mean, we were dealing with some family issues back home. And all of a sudden, I'm going to bed and just fear coming on me. And some challenges in terms of how am I going to deal with that? And I got down on my knees and prayed. I tell you, I focusing just on God, who you are, your name, his person. And the rest starts to, this rest started, it went away. I was at peace. Okay? And I believe that's what David's doing here. He knows God is. He is. And he is capable in face of whatever the situation. David, he's a radical. He's radical about his convictions. And he's clear in his commitment. And he's saying, I will rest confident because God is. He has to proactively procure these truths. But I tell you this, folks, the truth is, these exchanges are heavenly exchanges. If there's going to be a difference with the situation, it has to come from him. Where else do we look? Let me go to the next verses. Because in a sense, there's a shift in this. All of a sudden, I mean, he's already in this situation confronting the enemy, and then he says the following. One thing have I asked of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift my head. He lift me high, pardon me, upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Whoa. David enters fully into worship here. What's he saying? I want to be home. That's where I always want to be. Home with you, Lord. Every day, that's what I long for, and that's what I seek. That's the place where it makes sense. Life clears up. The brilliant things happen. I see beauty. I get answers to my inquiries. I feel secure, and there's more. What's home for you? Yeah, I would say, I'd say probably my grandma's place when I was a kid, you know. That, because I felt love. Real acceptance. Home wasn't so much my home. There was other issues at my home. Okay. But at least I'm really thankful for that little glimpse of another, of what I think the heavenly home is even more. But David is so committed. Was there a home? Was there a house? Was there the temple in place yet? No. David's looking forward to it. He sees it all by faith. He's entered into the presence of God, and he's seen these things, and he knows where home is. All he wants to do is be wrapped up in that. His number one choice is to really connect with God. What do you really want? What do you really want? At the heart of it, what do you want? Do you like to pray? Do you like to enter into the presence of God? He is there. I'm so thankful we took a little time quiet. Do you take a quiet time before God and just let him speak? Because David's saying here, I want to enter in with you, Lord. He is entering in with the Lord. And this is the place I want to be. Or is it rather FIFA or all the things we can do on this or chat on the phone or somebody else, all the distractions of this world. Maybe go shopping. That's what I want to do. That's the thing that motivates me. And here David's saying, look, the world does not offer much. It's even clearer now, perhaps, because he's facing an enemy. But this is where I've said, and this is where I want. And I'm just telling you again, God, I want to be with you. I want to be in your home. And I know the big plus here, the amazing thing, David's saying, look, not only is there beauty and answers and security, but I also know you're gonna lift this head, which is so often turned down. You're going to lift it up and place me on a rock, and I'm going to see over top of all this situation with my enemies. David knows all of that by faith. And he's advancing through his circumstances. I don't know what your circumstances are, but David's advancing through his circumstances, knowing that his God is the God that responds in those circumstances, because David is nestling himself in the arms of his father. That's what he knows. What do we lean on? Where is our security? What is really beautiful? We only have glimmers here in this world. But how much more with him? David knows, I'm going to be singing. We get a little bit here. Hallelujah that we do on Sundays. It makes a big difference to me some Sundays. Entering into God's presence makes all the difference. And we will be singing. And we should put that in the forefront. And that's what David's doing here in face of his enemy. In facing that emotional turmoil situation that he has. And then he goes even deeper. We turn to the next slide, please. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off, forsake me not. O God of my salvation, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Oh, this is it's a wonderful exchange that he has here. It's so relational, so intimate. God has, for whatever reason, David knows, God has said to him, seek my face. Perhaps it's a reflection of what comes from what he saw with Moses, Exodus 33:11, where Moses was meeting God face to face. They had this meeting place outside the camp. But David knows this is God's particular call for his life. What is your particular call for your life? And what does this mean, seek his face? You know, he's crying out here, God, respond to me favorably, please. And what I see is it's like a little child. What do children do, little babies? They look for the face of their parent, don't they? I need reassured. They start looking around. They panic if they don't find the face. But they know. And they know by the expression on the face of the one that they're looking to. If they've done good or bad or whatever. okay? And there's this communication that goes on. You know, we have the expression, you read the souls of people through their eyes sometimes. And in certain cultures, they're very protective. You keep your eyes lowered until you have the right to enter into an intimate relationship. Because there's these exchanges that one person's reading the other person. And this is the kind of thing God said to him, seek my face. Seek to know me and my responses in this intimate way. Really reveal yourself. I know you. Just let's make that contact. And David, he's saying that, Lord, you've said this to me, and you know that this is what I do. You know that this is at the center of what I'm about. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Do not reject me, Lord. Whatever, everything else is not as important as this, that I be accepted by you. And David's saying also, he goes on to say, look, even my father and my mother have rejected me. Now, I don't know much about his father and his mother. His dad did kind of hide him when it was time for Samuel to come and anoint. And then he wasn't sent to the battle lines. He was kind of held back except for to go nourish his brothers. I don't know if it was that. I have no idea. Later on, we see him providing security for his parents. But somewhere, somehow, and I don't know how many of you here have experienced just this feeling when I review my relationship with my parents and all the struggles I have now, it's often due to what went on back then. And believe me, I'm the first in this crowd, okay, in this sense. My mom wasn't very, she was preoccupied as a very young mom, okay, and with lots of troubles in her life, and she couldn't really take care of me. And my dad, he was working, and I don't think he wanted to come home very much. So they weren't there for me in this sense. And I tell you what, I still work through some of the things. Praise be to God. But what I have come to realize is God was always lovingly present. Though maybe my face wasn't turned toward His. His face was turned toward mine. And He's let me know that repeatedly since then. And boy, when it comes down to the heart of things that usually dictate our lives, I believe at the heart of it is a fear of rejection oftentimes. A fear of being just left and somehow, and at the big end of it, the blame, God, that you would abandon me. I don't even want to go there because I don't want to be disappointed that you would do this to me. But David's just up front. Look, the one thing that counts above all others here is this. Your acceptance. Your acceptance. When our eyes meet, that you envelop me. And we can go on from there. In the face of whatever circumstances, the treasure here is to see God face to face. And if we have two more slides, but they're the last two. I couldn't fit them on one, I think. Yeah. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me. And they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. David's really, he's so clear. I need your ways. I need to learn your ways, Lord. And please lead me on the path where I can walk. We live in a world that will eat us up. David's clear about that too. Lord, you see what's going on all around. They should not get the glory, Lord. It's all about you. And he declares again, by faith, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord. I'm yet to see the fullness. I'm yet to see what it really, I have the French word, the plenitude of what God is up to and how overwhelmingly good he is despite all these situations in this corrupt world that we live in. And then he speaks out, perhaps he speaks out to us. But I think first and foremost he's speaking out to his own self. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And he concludes there with what I would say is a very proactive waiting. Proactive in what sense? I eliminate everything else except for that God speaks into this circumstance. That takes some stamina. That takes will, a dedication, and a declaration of our souls to be able to say that. I will wait upon you, Lord, and I'm going to draw whatever courage I can from you. That's what he's saying here. Wow. a real exercise, and we see, wow. Isn't it great to have examples like David? It's leading the pack in a sense here. What have you learned about God from your previous life experiences? What can you declare about Him? What can you write a song about? By all means, do. He's doing it here in the middle of a situation that isn't good. We think, oh, we're busy and we can't do it. No, priorities are priorities. And David knows where answers come, from where answers come. What do our souls really need? Let's pray. Father, what can we say in face of this?